Hello, Catherine here. I wanted to let you guys know that we are putting together a really scrappy, I'm currently recording this in my closet, mini season speaking with chefs about the COVID-19 crisis. So we're finding out how it's impacting their daily lives, what they're doing to try to help their staffs and their businesses and their families, and tricks and tips for staying sane, what they're doing at home, cooking, spending time with their families. We want to know what they're up to and how we can help. So we hope you enjoy this season, and we look forward to a time when we're all hitting up the Boston restaurant scene again. Before I dig into this week's episode, I just wanted to remind you to keep your eyes on thefoodlens.com. Yes, sadly, our restaurants are still closed, but a lot of our local chefs are putting out some really great content, and we're getting some of that up on our website. So we have recipes from Jeremy Sewell and Michael Scalfo, and we're always adding new content, new takeout options. So keep your eyes on the site. Today, I'm looking forward to speaking with Tracy Chang, the owner of Pagu Restaurant. She was really quick to shut down her restaurant and really seemed to understand the weight of this epidemic really quickly. But instead of just keeping the restaurant shuttered, it's been transformed as she has been one of the people starting the Off Their Plate initiative. So she is cooking for frontline healthcare workers and keeping some of her staff employed. So I'm really looking forward to hearing how she got involved with this project, how it's been managing the whole thing, and what her vision is for the future of both Off Their Plate and Pagu. So Tracy, thank you so much for chatting with us today. You know, we've been following what you are doing with Off Their Plate. We actually spoke with Jamie Bissonnette about, you know, how they've been doing some work with you. But I'd love to know more about, you know, how you got it started and your role there, because it sounds like you are kind of in charge of that whole operation right now.
So Off Their Plate is an organization that was founded by one of my Pagu regulars called Natalie Guo. And she reached out to me, it was, Saturday, March, I think it's March 15th, 14th or 15th, anyway. It was right before the government mandate had come, and we were planning to close the restaurant to the public that Sunday. And she had sent me an email on Saturday, and she said, hey, I come to the restaurant all the time. I have this idea to connect people in healthcare, restaurants, and finance. And her background, she's a Harvard Business School graduate and a Harvard Medical School student. And she said, you know, do you think this is a good idea? And would you be willing to help me? And like I said, I was already planning to close the restaurant that Sunday to the public and figure out next steps, kind of given the situation of how COVID was escalating at a pretty quick rate, especially in our neighborhood. Biogen is just, you know, not too many blocks down the street. And a lot of the folks that come regularly to our restaurant were, you know, biopharmaceutical tech folks, mostly folks that work in the area, and probably folks that attended that conference, to be honest. So, you know, we wanted our employees to be as safe as possible. We wanted the general public that lives near us to be safe as well. So we were going to close and kind of figure out next steps. And, you know, Natalie really came to us with more so of a solution than a challenge. For me, the challenge wasn't really, oh, are we going to be able to, you know, cook these meals for these people and do it safely? Because that's kind of what we do all the time. The kind of bigger question mark was, how are we going to do that safely in the times of COVID? And can we create something that is scalable? You know, can our impact be not just, you know, by, you know, in Boston and extend beyond to other cities that need it perhaps more so than Boston? So New York, Seattle at the time, San Francisco. And we said, well, the only way to figure that out is to do it and to run a pilot. So because she was already working with Brigham and Women, she had some connections there and set up a 90-meal pilot on Thursday, March 19th. So,
wow,
yeah, it was very fast moving.
How many meals are you serving now?
Yeah, so that first pilot, 90, and then now, well, geez, to count all the ones we have served, And I'd have to go back. There's definitely a spreadsheet with a very exact number because that's how we get paid. But we did 90 that day. And for instance, this week we did over 4,000 just out of Pagu this week. Little Donkey also did somewhere in 4,000, 5,000 range. And we are currently the two, well, longest standing because Donkey did the second pilot the following week. And that's why Jamie and I have been in touch as well, because any kind of new ideas that we have about how to enhance the experience from all different sides, like make the experience better for restaurant owners, make it better for delivery drivers, make it better between off their plate communicating with restaurant owners or communicating with healthcare centers. Those new ideas we run through Boston, and we pilot mostly through Pagu and occasionally through Donkey because we are the higher volume locations. So yeah, we're doing a total out of Boston this week. We're doing 20,000 meals.
Wow. And so for people who maybe are not as familiar with the program, you're employing what would be otherwise out of work restaurant workers to create these meals for the frontline hospital workers. Is that correct?
Yeah. So these meals are going to frontline hospital workers that are specifically dealing with COVID patients in the emergency departments. These are, you know, doctors and nurses, but also hazmat folks, also janitorial teams, you know, receptionists and other administrative positions, everyone in the emergency department.
My downstairs neighbor who told me about the program originally, she just texted me this morning to say that she finally actually got one of the meals and she was super, super excited about it. So,
oh, nice. Where is she? Which hospital?
She's at Cambridge Health Alliance.
Yeah. We just started with them recently.
That's awesome. And I'm curious what your it's so hard to know what's going to happen. Obviously, no one knows. But you know, what are your kind of next steps or hopes for the program, or how do you see this, you know, unfolding in the coming weeks?
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of my position is, very kind of interesting, I guess. It's weird to call this like fun because the circumstances are so bizarre and just not really something that you ever plan for, to be like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, like one of the people that's spearheading this initiative to, you know, it's not like saving the world, but sometimes you kind of feel that way when you hear some of these stories. The fun part is that, we have over 100 volunteers now in the organization. We're in more than 9 cities, and Boston is still the biggest in terms of funding, in terms of COVID needs, and you know, team as well, number of meals going out, and kind of unfortunately, we still have COVID cases rising in our state, and so we have more meals going out next week and the following weeks. I think we will be hitting about peak. We have a whole kind of healthcare and forecasting team that works with onboarding new health centers, identifying what their needs and kind of demand is. And then we have a restaurant team that brings on new restaurants and kind of figures out what our capacity is in terms of, you know, how many meals and what kind of delivery systems we will need, et cetera. And so we try and match those two to reach more people. In terms of kind of our longer term goals, you know, the kind of simple thing that we do is that we, you know, restore wages, we provide this kind of economic relief to restaurants and restaurant employees, but the restaurant employees being the main goal. And then we connect them to feed the healthcare workers. And thankfully, we have really generous donors that make all of this possible, because up to now, I think we have over 2.5 million funded, which is pretty incredible.
Wow. And how long will that take you?
It's only been 5 weeks that we've been around, but that does give us another 4 to 8 weeks of runway.
That's great.
Yeah. So again, that's the healthcare and the forecasting team that kind of lets us know like how much, you know, more time we have in terms of the funding. But we do still have funds coming in.
That's great. And if people, we mentioned this on the episode with Jamie, but if the best way to support you is to what head to Off Their Plate and people can make donations there.
Yep. So if you go to offtheirplate.org, there's a link that says donate. And that donate link actually takes you to World Central Kitchen. So I'm friends with Jose Andres and Nate Mook, the founder of World Central Kitchen, which I didn't realize that Nate's title was like CEO when I put him in touch with Natalie. I was like, hey, Nate's like really important to know. I'm sure he'll help us out. And she's like, he's the CE freaking O. And I was like, oh, well, he's just really nice and gets stuff done. Yeah. So World Central Kitchen, they serve as our fiscal partners. They are the 501c3. So the money, you know, is processed through them nationally. And then locally, Commonwealth Kitchen. So WCK, World Central Kitchen, CWK, Commonwealth Kitchen, is our local 501c3 partner.
All right. Well, you know, we're so glad that you're doing the work. It's really been heartening to follow. I did also want to ask you about, so you made the decision and you said right in the beginning, you know, to close the restaurant, and Pagu does not really seem suited to take out particularly. But I also noticed that you mentioned online, you had a pretty strong stance of like, I don't think restaurants should be open. I don't think people should be doing takeout. They're putting people at risk. Obviously, it's a super complicated decision for any business owner. I would love for you to just, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, where you're coming from with that and what your sort of stance is.
Yeah. You know, it's not that I don't want to support other people. I want people to be practicing as safely as possible. Like, I don't even let my employees take public transportation to work. I pick them up. We carpool. You know, but my hesitancy early on in terms of takeout was that, you know, when we decided to close to the public, at that time, there was no guidance. There was no real guidance from, you know, the national government and the local government of what people should be doing and how they should be doing it safely. And I was super, you know, frightened, I guess, because I was driving to work and I would drive by these restaurants that were open for takeout. And I would see people doing, you know, this curbside pickup and what they call, you know, contactless, et cetera. And there were no masks, there were no gloves, you know, people were handing off boxes to each other. And it only takes one time, you know, to contract the virus. You know, it only takes one visit to the grocery store or one person brushing up against you, et cetera. So, I think I'm just too, I don't know, I'm very sensitive to that. My father's a physician, so, you know, I'm fortunate to kind of have this closeness to, you know, accessing PPE, but also knowing how severe coronavirus can be, because he has actually had two patients. He's a pediatrician, but he has had two positive patients in his practice. And he has been reading, you know, on the latest news every day in terms of the developments and what, you know, what everyone knows or doesn't know about COVID-19. I don't know if you've been home the entire time, how much you've been following the news. But, you know, when we started all this, mask wearing was like completely optional, right?
Totally.
And those were the guidelines that were given to us by our city. And it you know, I read it and I said, optional. And what I said to Natalie about expanding this initiative was that for us to be able to do it in the safest way possible, we had to write our own guidelines. And our partners, you know, have to follow these guidelines and they have to be as strict as possible, because we're not about to sign up to, you know, help save the world by making problems worse. So what we did was we put together a health and safety SOP, and that has been, you know, worked on, you know, reiterated multiple times by scientists, by public health experts, so many folks. You know, it's something that World Central Kitchen has had eyes on. You know, they've approved as well. So we feel really good about this document. We've shared it around with all of our partners. We've shared it with folks who are outside of our organization as well, because we want people to be practicing these safe measures. I mean, that's why we think that it's important to be continuously, staying up to date and updating our procedures as well. So as I talk to more experts on it, I'm learning, oh, this is why you shouldn't just wear a bandana, because your breath can travel downwards into food. So that became, one simple example in our SOP of proper mask wearing. You can wear a homemade mask, and it's actually recommended that you, wash it daily versus reutilizing, say, a disposable mask. But say if something like a handkerchief or bandana that shoots air downwards, not okay.
Right. Can you explain, sorry, what is an SOP just for?
Yeah, standard operating procedures.
Okay, standard operating procedures. Great. And it seems like that document could be as important as anything else that comes out of this. This is probably not the last time that we're going to face something like this, and sort of knowing how to move forward.
Yeah, so what we're hoping to do as an organization is to be able to take all of our lessons learned from this and kind of bundle it up, package it, and make it useful and a resource for everyone.
And what is your vision as a restaurant owner for PAGU? Like, what do you see in the future? Are you just kind of keeping your eye on what's in front of you?
The honest answer, I mean, there's a lot of, figuring out how to get through each day, as well as, planning for the future. And I think the challenging part right now as a restaurant owner is that everyone is, trying to survive, trying to stay alive. And there are so many bills that you still have to pay, even if you're a closed business. And so by staying open, you're trying to offset, that amount. Like for us, we have to pay over $12,000 a month, even if we're closed. There's liability insurances, health insurances, utilities, and that's not even including rent.
Wow.
And I consider us a small business. Someone walking into my restaurant might think, oh, this is a big business. This is a medium-sized business. I consider it a small business because I'm the only owner, and I don't have, a CFO or a COO or any of those types. I kind of wear those hats. But at the same time, I also don't have, 20 plus investors, et cetera. I don't have this kind of like cushion. I don't have other restaurant or concepts that I have that I can lean on, like a bar, which is much more lucrative, whereas a restaurant is, at best 10% profit margins.
Right.
I do feel for other small businesses out there that don't have, the resources, the access to funding, these grants and loans. They've gone first to the big players.
Right.
And in talking to some of my peers in the Boston restaurant scene, they're starting to expect the PPP, the EIDL. I've been on group texts that people are like, oh, did you get your EIDL? It came through today. We are a small business and we have not received any grants or any loans, and we are hanging on by doing these meals. So again, we're keeping them alive, and at the same time, they're keeping us alive, and they're allowing us to keep our employees, surviving through this. We are starting takeout tomorrow because I do anticipate the healthcare meals decreasing in a couple of weeks. And I do think that our practices are safe to be doing takeout right now. And I'm hoping that we'll have the support of our regulars, our neighborhood, other people that are looking for takeout. And hopefully that, will be enough to sustain us. But of course, we're going to have to get creative and think of other, sources of income, because I don't think just takeout alone can sustain, the bills we have to pay.
Yeah, we've had that conversation with, you know, a lot of folks. It's just how unsustainable that is. So since you are at this place where you're going to be reopening in a very small capacity takeout, like how can we support Pago? What are you guys cooking? What's the best way forward?
Yeah, so we'll be making certain dishes that people, you know, have loved since we've been open day one. You know, we're about three and a half years now. So we have like braised pork over rice with pork belly that everyone loves. That's usually in our bao. We'll be doing our childhood fried rice, like super homey dishes. We have our cedar campfire black cod, teriyaki salmon.
Yum.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see if people want to have fun and do something, you know, a little bit different. So we are still able to get suckling pigs. So I was thinking like, oh, we'll see if people want to do like a small tray of suckling pig if it's like a family of 4 to 6 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what sticks. Hopefully people like it. Yeah.
All right. And then I guess my last question for you is just, you mentioned that you have a four-month-old baby at home, which under the most normal circumstances is crazy. As a business owner and restaurant person, it's like another level of crazy. You've really hit the crazy jackpot. So how are you surviving? You look like you're smiling and pretty bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, all things considered. So what's happening on the home front? Are you cooking? How are you guys eating?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm lucky to have this, this little jackpot. Baby Olive, she's 4 months. She's happy. She started eating carrots and yams and what else did she eat this week? Steamed egg, like chawan mushi. What else? It's like having another pug. It's like I just got a puppy.
Give it a few months.
Except this puppy gets a lot bigger and gets a lot more vocal and is not as fluffy as the other ones, but you know.
And what about you? Like, how are you feeding yourself and keeping going?
Yeah. You know, every meal that we put out for these hospital workers, I eat. So I hope people like it because I've been eating it and I feel good. I'm, you know, nourished and energized to do this. This is also, you know, I've gone from taking a 1 month maternity leave, which was the longest time, you know, physically away from my restaurant and in bed that I have spent in the past like 10 years, I think. You know, I went from doing that because in my culture, that's you know, kind of what my mom and my aunt and my grandma and everyone kind of believes in for you to, you know, somewhat fully recuperate your body. So I've gone from doing that, you know, entire month off, having all these herbs, et cetera. And now I'm working 7 days a week. And I tried to lift a 50-pound bag of flour today, and I was reminded that yeah, I should probably not try and do that right now because I did have an epidural, and I'm like, oh, okay, still kind of hurts.
Yeah, you got to try to take it a little bit easier, which is much easier said than done. Well, that's great. All right, Tracy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It was great to hear about all the work that you're doing, and just stay safe and healthy, and hopefully we'll see you at Pago soon.
Great. Thank you, Catherine. It's been a pleasure.
Hi, guys. Catherine here. I hope you are staying safe and healthy and staying home as much as possible. Because we are all cooking at home a lot more, I also wanted to offer you 20% off your order at NotJust.co. The Not Just company is the company that I co-founded to help you cook better at home. And in addition to selling Not Just pasta sauce, we also have tons of recipes. And guys, we are always happy to help you make dinner. Just slide into our DMs and hit us up with any questions. That is literally what we're here for. So head to notjust.co and use promo code TFL20 at checkout for 20% off your order.